When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the Freddie and Harry Podcast on ESPN Radio.
And welcome to the best show on your radio. You know it better as Freddie and Harry. Thank you very much. He is Harry Douglas. I'm Freddie Coleman. You put us together. You get us on the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, as well as tune in and always tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. We got the NFL draft happening on Thursday. Round one on that day. Rounds two and three on Friday. Rounds four through seven on Saturday. As a matter of fact, my man Harry Douglas, he'll be part of the digital coverage team all week long when it comes to the NFL draft. He's going to let you know about every pick, every draft pick. You might know who the mother is. You might know who they're dating. You might know what kind of car they drive, because they're going to be all over it when it comes to the digital coverage of Harry Douglas, part of that, involving the 2024 NFL draft.
And also what the draft has told us the last 2 years, the last 3 years that I've done it, is that there may be a player that's name, and I don't know who the hell it is, but I'm going to wish him well and nothing but extreme success moving forward.
No doubt about that. By the way, Nobody Important, one of our favorites on Twitter, Coleman ESPN, and at HDouglas83, he says, to me, the draft is about as exciting as playing slot machines in a casino. Outside of a few guys in the first round, you never know what guys that your team picks are going to be, impact players, let alone stars. It's a total crapshoot most of the time. Exactly. And that's where the first time, it won't be the last time, we do the Freddie and Harry first round top 10 mock draft. It can be easy to all 32, but that's no fun. Let's just keep it simple. Keep it nice. Keep it sweet. Keep it short. When it comes to the top 10 Freddie and Harry first round mock draft. So we already flipped the coin at the beginning. So Harry has the first pick in the draft. So we get things started with the first pick in the 2024 Freddie and Harry mock draft. Harry, the Chicago Bears, who are you selecting?
The Chicago Bears select quarterback from USC, Caleb Williams.
Boo.
And here's why I love this pick. When you look at what Ryan Poles has been able to do, you traded out of the number one spot last year, you got DJ Moore. You already had Cole Kmet. You go in free agency and you go get DeAndre Swift. Mm-hmm. It's going to be phenomenal for the Chicago Bears. So you also make a trade and you go get Keenan Allen. There's an opportunity with the ninth pick also in this draft that you can get a wide receiver there. But I love the situation that Caleb Williams is going to be going into because he doesn't have to be He-Man. He doesn't have to flex his muscles. He doesn't have to put everything on his shoulders. He's going to have help. Also, that defense last season when they made the trade for Montez Sweat, they were a lot better, and I mean a lot better than they were previous to that. So Caleb Williams for the Chicago Bears is going to be phenomenal, and he has a chance to become a player to eclipse 4,000 yards in Bears history, in which we have not seen.
Really? You think you can do that in year one, huh? That's a lot of faith and confidence, but I'm with you. I could see that potential happening because he's going to love Chicago, and Chicago is going to love him. And by all the people out there, those naysayers saying, I don't know, it's going to be the best motivation that you could want for a guy that seems to find any kind of motivation and turn that into a positive instead of a negative. With the second pick in the 2024 Freddie and Harry mock draft, the Washington Commanders select, even though we don't know he wants to be there, Jaden Daniels, quarterback out of LSU. He can say whatever he wants about, I'll go where I'm going to be selected. If you're Dan Quinn, if you're Washington, you can't let him dictate exactly if he doesn't want to be there. You have to find a way to say, hey, look who you have. You got Jahan Dotson. You got Terry McLaurin. You got a coach in Dan Quinn that knows how to make sure the best offense that can be suited to your skills. And plus, you're in Washington, D.C. They've been dying for a quarterback like you that can be a great figure on the football field and represent the team off the football field. You're going to love Washington, D.C., Jaden Daniels. That's the second pick in the draft. The Washington Commanders, they're taking Jaden Daniels, quarterback and Heisman Trophy winner from LSU. With the third pick in the 2024 Freddie Harry mock draft, the New England Patriots, Harry Douglas, select.
With the third overall pick, we have a trade, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
We have the Minnesota Vikings now trading with the New England Patriots in receiving the 11th and the 20th, I think it's the 23rd overall pick.
23rd pick, yes.
With other draft compensation attached to it as well. But okay, the focus here is that the Minnesota Vikings have traded up, mm-hmm, and they now select quarterback from North Carolina, Drake May. Now, what's unique about this pick is that we know the quarterback coach for the Vikings, Josh McCown, coached Drake May in high school. They already have that relationship. It's going to be phenomenal. He doesn't have to play right now because they have Sam Darnold.
Right.
But the Minnesota Vikings, in a division that I feel like is going to be one of the toughest in the National Football League next year, now have their quarterback and Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and TJ Hockenson. Okay. It's going to be okay.
Okay. I like that. I'm not going to disagree with that. With the fourth pick in the 2024 Freddie and Harry mock draft, the Arizona Cardinals do not trade out of this pick. Despite what their general manager, Monty Osifor, put out there, they're taking Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver from The Ohio State University. They got Kyler Murray, quarterback. We know Jonathan Gannon can coach. What do they not have? A guy that can threaten defenses. Because everybody else in that division, they have that guy. The 49ers, they have not only Brandon Ayuk, but they also have, when it comes to Deebo Samuel. The San Francisco 49ers have those two guys. The Seattle Seahawks have DK Metcalf and also Lockett. The Los Angeles Rams have Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. Who do the Arizona Cardinals have? Crickets. Crickets.
No one.
Crickets. That problem has been solved, Harry Douglas. They take Marvin Harrison Jr. from The Ohio State University with the fourth pick in the draft.
And this is the purest wide receiver in the draft, in my opinion. You talk about the background, second generational talent that's going to be playing at a professional level. He's been around money. He's been around the work ethic. He knows what it takes. His father is a Hall of Famer. So when it comes to this pick, this is one that I don't feel like you can miss on when it comes to Marvin Harrison Jr.
Fifth pick in the 2024 Freddie and Harry mock draft, the Los Angeles Chargers, Harry Douglas, select
offensive tackle from Notre Dame, Joe Alt. And the reason why this pick is significant for the Los Angeles Chargers, we know now they have the head coach in Jim Harbaugh. What does he like to do? Run the damn football. What does he like? The trenches. What else does he has at the forefront? Physicality, griminess, toughness. Move your man against his will from point A to point B and don't feel sorry for him. That's the mindset of a Jim Harbaugh. We've seen it when he coached with the Stanford Cardinal. We've seen it when he was the head coach for the San Francisco 49er. And he just won a national championship with the Michigan Wolverines, right, in which their quarterback didn't throw a pass in the second half of one of those football games because of the run game and how physical they were. Joe Alt to the Los Angeles Chargers. It fits the mindset. It fits the bill for Jim Harbaugh and what he wants to build there in L.A.
Why no wide receiver here for them at number five?
Because this is a deep wide receiver draft.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Okay. Sounds good. So right now, what you're listening to on Freddie and Harry with Harry Douglas and Freddie Coleman, presented by Progressive Insurance and ESPN Radio. The first Freddie and Harry top 10 mock draft, of course, in the first round. Harry selected first. The Bears took Caleb Williams out of USC. I went second. The Commanders taking Jaden Daniels, quarterback out of LSU. Harry went third, making a trade. The Vikings trade up to number three. The Patriots trade out, and they take Drake May out of North Carolina. The Cardinals at number four. I say they're going to select Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver of The Ohio State University. Chargers picking fifth. Harry believes they should take Joe Alt, the outstanding offensive lineman from Notre Dame, which means with the sixth pick in the 2024 Freddie Harry mock draft, the Giants trade out of number six. They flip spots with the Denver Broncos. The Broncos move up from number 12 to number six. And with that selection, the Denver Broncos take quarterback J.J. McCarthy from the University of Michigan.
Okay, so now is the time that we bring in our experts, Devin Kane and Shannon Penn, to comment on what has just transpired.
Tell me, Freddie, please tell me we get 12 this year.
Uh-huh.
Do we get a first round next year?
No, you get you get the Broncos' third and fourth round picks this year.
No, I'm out.
Oh,
no.
Lord.
Listen.
Terry, hit reverse, Terry.
You need extra people. You need extra picks to fortify the quarterback that you may take later or a wide receiver you can get in this draft.
So, Giants Twitter, this is funny you bring this up because this has been floated, this trade with the Broncos on Twitter, a potential trade.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Here's where the consensus is with amongst Giants fans.
Okay.
If we're going to do this,
yep.
we need a first this year. Uh-huh. Obviously, we're going to get their first this year.
Yeah.
A first next year.
No.
I don't care about any other thing.
Not
and
happening.
Patrick Surtain.
You're not happening. Not happening. They're not moving off of Patrick Surtain. They're not doing that. The Giants have let it be known. They're going to take J.J. McCarthy, but they don't want him at that high price. They may get a quarterback later on. They'll probably take a wide receiver. Rome Odunze will probably be on the board at that point. But Broncos needed a quarterback. They don't have one. They like J.J. McCarthy. They traded to the sixth pick of the draft.
So you're saying that Broncos, you want a quarterback?
At 13, Rome Odunze will still probably be on the board
exactly.
for the Giants to take.
Exactly. You flip those spots, you get that wide receiver to help out Daniel Jones, and also go with Jalin Hyatt and replace that for your quarterback. And if he's not there next year, you can find a quarterback later on in the draft, my friend.
I mean, we're going to continue to go on the draft. I'm anxious to see where you guys, Harry's dancing.
Okay, yeah.
Say Rome Odunze might still be there.
Mm-hmm.
Titans need a wide receiver, do they not?
Well, we don't know yet. We haven't gotten
So you're telling me Malik Nabers and then Rome Odunze are going to get past the Bears?
But you also got other. You got Brian Thomas Jr. of LSU.
I'm on one of the receivers. Freddie, you know what you're doing.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing.
Because what do you mean? This is what he chose, man.
Why you laughing? Why you dancing?
That's his pick.
Why you laughing and dancing?
Plus, Devin King, you know the Giants don't want to take a wide receiver that high anyway. They got their butts beaten when they took Odell Beckham Jr. and that blew up in their faces. This organization has been known for if something happened in the past that didn't work, they don't make the same mistake twice. And they're not going to do that when it comes to a wide receiver this high in the draft because they're still not sold on Daniel Jones that he's going to be there long term.
I like this mock draft.
Seventh pick in the 2024 Freddie Harry mock draft, the Tennessee Titans, Harry Douglas, select.
Wide receiver from Washington, Rome Odunze. And the reason why I took Rome here is because you also got to look at DeAndre Hopkins is still in the roster. But DeAndre Hopkins probably won't be there after next year. Rome is a big-bodied guy that can make contested catches, which is great for a young quarterback that they have in Will Levis. The reason why I didn't take Malik Nabers here is because they just signed Calvin Ridley. And Calvin Ridley can win one-on-one matchup. He's a route savant, short, intermediate, deep. He can do it all. So with the seventh pick, Rome Odunze is heading to Tennessee.
Oh, we got breaking news regarding a team that's supposed to be part of this. With the eighth pick in the 2024 Freddie Harry mock draft, the Atlanta Falcons are going to select. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Before they select the eighth pick of the draft, Devin King, you got breaking news? What's the breaking news?
For our mock, I'm receiving word. I just want to point that out again.
Right,
for the mock.
Okay.
There are reports. We're still working to confirm, but it's looking like it's going to happen due to the tampering with Kirk Cousins and the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons have officially lost their pick. They will not be getting a defensive player, and they will probably be in the doldrums of the NFC South.
For the Freddie and Harry mock draft.
Just for the mock draft.
So according to Adam Schefter, who just told Devin Kane and Shannon Penn, our ESPN Info Insider, because of tampering charges that have been found to be true against your Atlanta Falcons
for
tampering with Kirk Cousins in the mock draft, the mock Adam Schefter, we're going to call him Andy Schefter, basically said the Atlanta Falcons will not have the eighth pick of the NFL draft in our mock draft.
Andy could go look at a plunger and y'all figure out the rest. With that news, that's what Andy can do.
So based on that, so that means we move down to this pick. Harry Douglas with the number 9 selection in this NFL draft. The Chicago Bears are taking who?
Wide receiver from LSU, Malik Nabers. And this is just the right pick
Absolutely.
At this point in the draft. When you talk about giving your quarterback, in which the Bears selected Caleb Williams, number 1 overall, more valuable weapons to take the top off the defense and to be explosive. Yeah. Malik Nabers from LSU.
And you help out your quarterback. You help out your running game. Also, now you got a DJ Moore. You got a Keenan Allen. You also got that young man, Malik Nabers, I think who may want to be the best receiver in this draft when it's all said and done. That's just my opinion. But that all happened because the Atlanta Falcons lost their pick in the mock draft because of tampering charges levied and were found guilty by the National Football League Mock Draft Selection Committee about the Atlanta Falcons. And with the 10th pick of the 2024 Freddie and Harry mock draft, the New York Jets, Jets, do not lose their selection after trading Zach Wilson away to the Denver Broncos on Monday. On Thursday, they take Brock Bowers, tight end out of Georgia. Aaron Rodgers will feel better as long as Aaron Rodgers does not corrupt him with his conspiracy theories. They got a tight end that can be there for the next 8 to 10 years and could be a generational factor no matter who's playing quarterback for the New York Jets.
So here's a theme that I'm seeing.
What's that?
Every player that was picked in our mock draft is from the offensive side of the ball. And I'm pretty sure if the Atlanta Falcons didn't have to void their pick eighth overall because of the nonsense that Andy reported on our show, go find that plunger, Andy. Go find that plunger.
Put it this way.
I'm pretty sure, you know, Dallas Turner would have been taken with that eighth overall pick.
There's no doubt about that, but we'll never know because your Falcons team involved in tampering charges that the NFL brought down the hammer like Thor. Swift, fast, and merciless because of you dirty birds being dirty when it comes to Kirk Cousins. All right, Devin Kane and Shannon Penn, our associate producer and producers respectively, who won the draft? Harry had picks 1, 3, 5, 7, and 9. Bears at number 1, Caleb Williams, quarterback out of USC. Number 3, Vikings, trading into that pick from the Patriots, taking Drake May out of North Carolina. Number 5, the Chargers, Joe Alt, the offensive lineman from Notre Dame. Number 7, the Tennessee Titans, Roma Dunze, the wide receiver from Washington. And number 9, Malik Nabers of LSU at number 9. I took at number 2, the Commanders and Jane Daniels of LSU. Number 4, the Cardinals, Marvin Harrison Jr., the wide receiver from The Ohio State University. Broncos trading into that spot with the Giants, moving them out. They take J.J. McCarthy, the quarterback out of Michigan. The Falcons pick at number 8 was voided because of tampering allegations. We want to thank Andy Schefter, ESPN, NFL Mock Draft Insider for providing that information. And then the Jets at number 10, taking Brock Bowers, the tight end, first-team All-American the last 2 years out of Georgia. So, guys, great. Be the Mel Kiper Jr. and Phil Yates. Who won the draft?
I mean, listen. If we're looking at a well balanced mock draft, it's tough with me to go with you, Freddie, because of this Broncos trade, especially only us getting third and fourth. As a Giants fan, my bias, but
you're not supposed to be biased as a draft expert. Then you can't be a draft expert then if you're going to be biased.
With that being said, I'm gonna go with Mr. Freddie Coleman just because I can't go with someone who had their teams taken away. I can't believe that. That's insane to me.
So hold on. Let's,
according to the mock.
So you're saying Freddie had the best mock?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the Broncos traded at number 6.
I told you.
And you don't get multiple first rounds.
I told you. It's tough for me to go against that, but it was voided.
But that's not my pick, though. Yeah.
It's not like the Broncos went from number 12 to number 2. No, they went from number 12 to number 6.
Dev, you keep talking about my team. That's not the job of draft expert.
That was not
my selection. Eighth overall was not my selection.
When I hear your voice and I look at you, I just think Falcons.
Stop.
You can't be biased.
It's the black tea.
You can't be biased for and against. Shannon Penn, who won the mock draft?
Oh, man, Freddie, thank you very much for coming to me. This is a really interesting draft. You had quarterbacks going number and the first 3 picks in the draft with Caleb Williams and Jalen Daniels and Drake May. With that trade, the Vikings getting their man. But right now, if I had to look at a team right now, nobody selected a linebacker in the first top 10 picks of the draft. But if I had to look at a team, absolutely, Chicago Bears won. Getting a guy like Malik Nabers to fall all the way down to number 9 is the absolute steal of the first top 10 picks of the draft. So right now, I got to go with the Chicago Bears and what they did with Caleb Williams and Malik Nabers as the winners of the draft. Linebacker.
That was hilarious.
Oh, my God. I got tears in my eyes.
That was hilarious.
So the first Freddie and Harry 2024 mock draft regarding the top 10. Will 4 quarterbacks be selected with the first 4 picks like they were almost a part of our draft? Find out on Thursday. Round 1, the 2024 NFL draft right here on ESPN Radio. Presented by ESPN Bet. First round coverage beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern time on most ESPN radio stations. And you can also catch it on Sirius XM Channel 80. With Harry Douglas and Freddie coming together on Freddie and Harry. And we got game 2 tonight between the New York Knicks and the Philadelphia 76ers. Knicks leading that series 1-0. What do they need from Joel Embiid, meaning the Philadelphia 76ers, if Tyrese Maxey can't go in game 2? This is ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
The Freddie and Harry Podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Harry, presented by Progressive Insurance. Our man Harry Douglas had to leave a little bit early because he's going to be speaking at a symposium tomorrow, part of the NFL draft week in Detroit, Michigan. When it comes to speaking to rookies, having the chance to get them ready for the NFL on and off the football field. So he had to step out a little early to catch his flight. But we're going to take each other through the rest of the show on the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. Don't forget about us and tune in. And always tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. We got not one, not two, but three game twos tonight in the NBA playoffs. The late game, the Denver Nuggets hosting the Los Angeles Lakers. 1-0 leading that series by the Denver Nuggets. Then at 7 o'clock Eastern time, about 30 minutes from now, game two of the series involving the Cleveland Cavaliers hosting the Orlando Magic. The Cavaliers lead that series 1-0. And the New York Knicks taking on the Philadelphia 76ers in that game two. The Knicks lead that series 1-0. Coverage begins at 7 o'clock Eastern time for that one on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. And we still don't know the availability of Tyrese Maxey. He did not have a chance to be a part of the morning shoot-around. The same Tyrese Maxey, who had 33 points in 44 minutes despite losing game one to the Knicks, when he was terrific, helping Joel Embiid, who had 29 points, 8 rebounds, and 6 assists. A couple of people posted on social media, including Tina Servacio from the MSG Network, that Tyrese Maxey was spotted minutes ago at the missing shoot-around today, dunking the basketball, going through different kind of drills. So it seems that more than likely that Tyrese Maxey is going to be in the basketball court tonight for the Philadelphia 76ers. But more importantly, Philadelphia, you got to find a way to get that guy, Joel Embiid, some help. If Tyrese Maxey is not going to be 100%, then other people have to step up. But Chris Canty, host of Unsportsmanlike Monday through Friday on ESPN Radio with Evan Cohen and Michelle Smallman, he said this about Joel Embiid not getting enough credit for actually wanting to be out there.
He's giving us all the drama and letting us know that he's playing through injuries by gimping around and having these all these facial expressions. Bro, we know you're hurt. Mm-hmm. We get it. Mm-hmm. But you don't get extra credit for being hurt. You know how you get extra credit for being hurt? If you win a championship. If you win a championship, we're not 100%, okay, cool. But until you get close to doing that, I don't want to see that. I don't want to hear that.
Not disagreeing with Chris Canty. I clearly understand where he's coming from with that. But I know if I'm a Philadelphia 76ers fan, I'm wondering, when is Joel Embiid going to get a break? When are the breaks going to start going his way? Because it seemed that everything was going to happen for him last year. 3-2 lead in the series against the Boston Celtics. A chance to close out the Boston Celtics at home in a game six and get to a place where he's never been before, the Eastern Conference Finals. And instead, even though Jason Tatum went 0 for the first three quarters, he went out of his mind in the fourth quarter, and then all of a sudden, it was a 3-3 series, and we know what happened in Game 7. Joel Embiid is one of the toughest guys in the league, and I know Chris Canty. I get you, brother. I understand it. He does not need to exacerbate exactly how injured he is. But you know what? He's always been that expressive when it comes to Joel Embiid. That doesn't bother me as a basketball fan. It doesn't bother me as a Knicks fan. But if what should bother you, Joel Embiid, is not so much what is Tyrese Maxey going to look like. Who are going to be the other guys not named you, not named Tyrese Maxey, not even named Kyle Lowry, who had 18 points in game one. And you can't expect that in a game two. That's asking a lot from a guy that is definitely past his due date. That means the Tobias Harris's of the world. Dude, where were you in game one? You look great decorating the court. You look great in your warm-ups, but they need you to be the guy that's getting all that money, that signed that contract extension. And when that Philadelphia 76ers fan, before the season got started, when they were giving you grief and you said, well, that's how the cookie crumbles, and those cookies, did not land well in that city. So it's not so much, in my opinion, what the 76ers need from Joel Embiid if Tyrese Maxey can't go, or if Tyrese Maxey apparently is going to be compromised. It's whoever else can do for the Philadelphia 76ers, like the New York Knicks had their guys do for Jalen Brunson when he did not play well in game one, but they won game one anyway.
Before we get to Brunson, I did want to ask, Freddie, did you have a problem with Embiid coming back in the game?
No.
Knowing his injury history,
nope,
and how bad it looked with that initial coming down on that knee, you were fine with him coming back?
Yep.
Because he did look a lot different that second half. He lost any mobility that he had earlier in the game when he was dominating the Knicks in the first quarter.
Well, it definitely goes to the medical team clearing him. So that's number one. So the medical team allowed him to be cleared to go back out there, and he wanted to go back out there. I'm sure they gave him the option. Yeah, we'll clear you medically, but it's not going to be an easy time for you out there. So I'm never going to question somebody that wants to be out there, especially if he aggravated something and is not going to risk further injury. That is something that Joel Embiid, Shannon, and the doctors and the medical staff are going to have to weigh. So, yeah, when you do something like that, because that's a lot of weight that came down on a knee that's already compromised. And give the New York Knicks a lot of credit. They didn't feel sorry for him, nor should they. They're like, dude, that's your problem. That's not going to be an us problem. But a bigger problem for Philadelphia is if somebody else is not able to step up to reduce that stress on him, meaning Joel Embiid being injured and Tyrese Maxey having an illness, then they're going to be down 2-0. Because you know the New York Knicks are not going to allow Jalen Brunson to go 8-for-26 and 1-for-6 in the three-point line, even though they're able to win that game. Even Jalen Brunson said, give credit to the Philadelphia 76ers, but
played really well defensively. They're just throwing bodies or clogging the paint, making everything difficult. So got to give them a lot of credit. I got to be better. I can't speed up. I just got to be myself and slow down a little bit. But got to give them a lot of credit. But I think made a couple key plays where our teammates just made big shots. And so that's a credit to them. And then I'm just happy they played well today.
That's the difference between one superstar on one team and another superstar on another team. Jalen Brunson can look at the rest of his teammates and say, no worries there. I know guys are going to step up. They've done it all year long. When Julius Randle was injured and then lost for the season, they did it. OG Anunoby was going through his elbow issues and being injured. Plenty of guys are able to raise their game and step up their game. Jalen Brunson did not have to worry about that. Joel Embiid on the other side, yeah, even a Tyrese Maxey, more than likely I think Tyrese Maxey is going to play. If you're out there about an hour and a half before the game gets started, and you're going through drills and you're doing different things, your mindset is that you're definitely going to play in that basketball game. But if you're Joel Embiid, you don't know what you're going to get from him or Tobias Harris or Kyle Lowry. You don't even know what you're going to get from yourself. And that could be a big, big factor if the 76ers are going to find a way to level this series at one and make it a whole different series when it goes back to Philadelphia, no matter what happens tonight.
And you mentioned we did have the other game. We have two other games tonight, but the late game, the Lakers.
Yeah.
Anything that you can see from them to get back in this series with the Nuggets down 0-1?
Well, Shannon Penn, I'm glad you asked that here of me, of Freddie Coleman, on Freddie and Harry on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. SiriusXM Channel 80. Don't forget about us and tune in. And I'll tell you, smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. Now, Anthony Davis said the right things, because Anthony Davis knew that he was not the problem. Everybody had him circle saying, dude, you got to find a way to make sure you don't get dominated by Nikola Jokic. And I said last week before game one happened that Anthony Davis has to be the best player in the series. Not the best player for the Los Angeles Lakers, but he's got to be the best player in the series. And he was terrific when it came to game one. You couldn't look at him as a Lakers fan and say, man, Anthony Davis, where were you? He completely showed up with 32 points, 14 rebounds, and 4 blocks. In other words, he scored as many points as Nikola Jokic, 32, had more rebounds than Nikola Jokic when it came to two. He didn't get dominated. But he also said, it can't just be about me and LeBron James.
It's not a regular season game where, you know, we have time. We're down 0-1. So, you know, we have to, you know, everybody, you know. I do like the aggressive. I mean, really, we have to shoot the ball more. He only hit 4 shots. I think he has to be a little bit more aggressive. but we got to see the ball go in.
If you're a Lakers fan, you love that Anthony Davis said that. Hey, Rui Hachimura, 2-for-4 from the field? That ain't going to work, boss. D'Angelo Russell, you can't go 6-for-20 and 1-for-9 from the three-point line. I did my part at 32 points. LeBron did his part at 27 points. Even Taurean Prince off the bench did his part with 11 points. But as terrific as you were down the stretch, you can't go 6-for-20, 1-for-9 the three-point line. If your shot's not working, move the basketball around and get better shots for yourself or Rui Hachimura, because we're doing everything we can. That team over there, they don't believe that we can beat them. They know that we can't beat them, and we lost 9 straight times. So, no, I've not seen anything from the Los Angeles Lakers lately or in game one that could look at them and say, yeah, y'all can get game two. That's not to say it won't happen, because, and I get tired of this narrative too, but it is there. When you have LeBron James in your team, you always have a chance. People fail to realize there are levels to that chance that you're talking about when it comes to the team on the other side, where they don't have to worry about guys stepping up. And it's not just about Jamal Murray stepping up. Michael Porter Jr., all he's gone on his family, 19 points, 8 rebounds in that ball game on Saturday night. We mentioned Jamal Murray, he had 22 points. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope made massive 3 points in the fourth quarter. He had 12 points. That collective does not have to worry about who's stepping up. They all know what the star system is, but they know exactly what their roles are. Aaron Gordon, 12 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 turnover in 32 minutes of play. That's why Anthony Davis looked at these guys and said, hey, Rui Hachimura, 4 shots? Really? You should be getting 4 shots a quarter based on all the attention that we're getting. Hey, you know, D'Angelo Russell, where were you? Taking 20 shots and only making 6. I love the fact that Anthony Davis name-checked guys. I'm sure if he wanted to name-check D'Angelo Russell, he probably did in the locker room. But to name-check somebody else to say, hey, we know you can do it. Stop fooling around. We ain't got time for that. Against a Nuggets team that they don't believe that we can beat them. And we keep playing like that, they're going to be 100% right that we can't beat them. Even LeBron James put it out there about he still feels a lot of confidence in his team. He says he doesn't believe in doubt. When it comes, he said, you're asking the wrong guy when it comes to something like that. But I wonder how much doubt that he and Anthony Davis have in the other guys. They don't have any doubt in each other. I wonder how much doubt they have in D'Angelo Russell and Austin Reeves and Rui Hachimura, that they can find a way to get that done to make it a 1-1 series versus the Denver Nuggets.
You just have to wonder, Freddie, imagine how good the Lakers will sit right now if they're playing the Thunder in the first round and not the Nuggets.
I didn't hear you, what you said. What was that? Stop. Even Greenberg, he tried to walk it back today on Get Up. He didn't exactly crow about it, but he put it out there. Everybody was like, stop, stop. That's not how players are wired. And by the way, if you're running from the Denver Nuggets in round one, more than likely you're probably going to see him again anyway, because the road through the Western Conference goes to the Denver Nuggets. The Lakers know that. And if you take them apart, if you're able to find a way to win this series, there's not going to be a team in the Western Conference that you should be afraid of. If you fear the Denver Nuggets, that's one thing. But to just avoid them just because, look, just play better. Find a way to make sure the Nuggets don't play better. If you're able to do that, you don't have to worry about Nikola Jokic saying this after game one.
I mean, to be honest, we are desperate too. You know, we don't want to lose at home, and it's going to be, I think today was an interesting game. You know, we could see they had a run, we had a run, and, you know, I think every game is going to be interesting. So hopefully we're going to match and be even more physical than them.
Mm-hmm. So Lakers, what are you going to do about it? Like we mentioned, 3 game twos tonight. The first one kicking off in about 20 minutes. Game two of that series between the Orlando Magic and the Cavaliers in Cleveland. Game two of the Knicks hosting the Philadelphia 76ers. Coverage begins in 20 minutes right here on ESPN Radio. And then the other game two, the Denver Nuggets hosting the Los Angeles Lakers. That game at 10 o'clock Eastern time on TNT. Freddie Coleman and Freddie and Harry presented by Progressive Insurance. You can protect your home and auto. And when you do that, you can save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. So another news features these three people. A former, now ex-Jets quarterback, a current Yankees manager, and Shannon Penn's daughter? That's next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
The Freddie and Harry Podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Freddie Coleman on the City Play Day edition, the Monday edition of Freddie and Harry. Thanks for joining me on SiriusXM Channel 80, as well as tune in. And don't forget to tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. We normally play Reggae Monday, reggae songs on Monday. But Freddie and Harry will be doing different shows later on this week. For example, filling in for Greenberg, for Mike Greenberg on his show Tuesday and Wednesday. And they will both be on Carlin versus Joe on Thursday and Friday. So because the NFL draft's in Detroit, Michigan, we decided to do a little City Play Day. All the music, all the artists from that great city of Detroit. We know each and every night you got things to do, people to see, dinner to be made to make sure everybody's happy. You cannot be counted on to know everything there is to know inside, outside of sports. Lucky for you, that's where Freddie and Harry come in.
They may not be the top stories of the day.
In other news.
But you need to be in the know. This is In Other News.
Jets fans will say their national nightmare is over. You know who can also say the same thing? Zach Wilson, now the ex-Jets quarterback, can say that his nightmare is over. He is no longer a member of the New York Jets. They traded him to the Denver Broncos. The Jets will receive a sixth-round selection this year. In addition to Wilson, the Broncos will get him plus a seventh-round pick, and they're splitting the $5.5 million that Zach Wilson is due this season, with each team paying $2.75 million. That's according to ESPN own Adam Schefter, NFL Insider Dude. And let's be honest, as much as we can say, and actual and factual, that Zach Wilson failed in New York, the Jets failed him a lot more than Zach Wilson failed the New York Jets anybody fan base. They should have never done that to that young man, drafting that high to begin with the second pick in the draft, and then saying you're going to be our starting quarterback, when it clearly was shown, even back in college at BYU, that he may not have been ready for that spotlight. And to try to have to do that spotlight in that city with that franchise, short of taking him to a Super Bowl, there was no way that Zach Wilson was going to win with the audience when it came to the New York Jets, and especially when he didn't look the part early, he didn't look the part late, he didn't look the part in the middle. All of that is not on him. The majority of that should be on the New York Jets for drafting him that high and putting all that on his plate in the first place. Speaking of being ejected out of New York, that brings us to Aaron Boone, the Yankees manager. Now, I've seen people get ejected out of games early, but five pitches in?
The 0-2. He did not swing, so
take another look at the slider down and in, and it clearly gets that.
I'm looking for him to get hit behind the pin. You got anything else to say? You're gone. Okay, you're in.
Well, there you go. And now Aaron's saying, I didn't say anything.
You're gone.
Aaron's saying, hold on a second. I didn't say anything.
The YES Yes Network with a call. The umpire in question, Hunter Windelstad, thought he heard Aaron Boone say something from the dugout after he warned him not to say anything. It turned out a fan in the stand said something, and Hunter Windelstad apparently got confused, bewildered, bamboozled, and told Aaron Boone to beat it. After the game, or should I say during the game, because he wasn't around long after five pitches.
Aaron, how do you wrap your head around what happened in the first inning?
Hard to. I really didn't even go after Hunter. You know, I was more upset that, you know, on the appeal, and I said, Hunter, you can call it too. And he came back at me pretty hard, to which I didn't respond. I just said, okay, went down, and it's embarrassing. It really is a bad, It's embarrassing.
I mean, everybody can see the video, but is that a scenario where you reach out to Major League Baseball about that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, yes, but just you know, not good.
Well, it was Bush League what Hunter Winterstadt did, but if he doesn't apologize for a mishearing, then he should really be embarrassed when it comes to Hunter Winterstadt, because that was a joke, 100% a joke. You had rabbit ears 5 pitches into the game. Aaron Boone literally got thrown out of a game for looking at his nails, because that's what he was doing when Hunter Winterstadt threw him out. And if Hunter Winterstadt doesn't apologize, then that's a joke. That's Bush League, as far as I'm concerned. Last but not least, we turn it over to Shannon Penn.
Yes, sir.
Involving his daughter, because it's going to be her world. We're all just living in it. What was the latest involving your namesake that she did this weekend?
Yeah, so special shout out to Shannon Penn. Wow, that sounds weird saying that. But, yo, so look, Saturday, right, she scheduled to have a softball game. It got rained out because of the weather, what have you. They still had practice, all well and good. She went to practice, did her thing. So then my wife picked her and my son up, and they went to a track meet that her school was participating in. And there was some other schools there as well. So Shannon was out there chilling or whatever. Some of the girls on her track team, they were ill, so they were short a couple people.
Right.
So the assistant coach said to her jokingly, "Hey, Shannon, you want to run the 200? And Shannon, being who she is, she was like, "Yeah, sure, but I don't have shoes." So, because all she had was Crocs on, whatever. Right. So she borrowed some shoes from a classmate or whatever, went out there, ran the 200 for the first time she ever ran it, and placed third in the 200 running for the first time. So shout out to Shannon on that.
Like
she gets it from her mom, by the way.
I don't care who she gets it from. It's her world. We're just living in it. I mean, but what did she say to you after she ran this race that she had never run before?
Oh, she was exhausted. And you can see it in the video, too. She was done. She was done. It was all over her face. Like, she was great. The first 100 meters,
sure.
She started out the blocks real fast. Yeah. Boom, I got this. I'm on my Shakari Richardson. I'm good.
Yeah.
And then the last 200, no bueno.
Yeah. She had all the adrenaline in the first 100. Then she had the piano on her back the last 100. To carry that across the finish line.
She was limping to the line like Joel Embiid. She was hurt.
Oh, jeez.
She was
really
down real bad.
Joel Embiid just can't catch a break. Not even from you, huh? Not even from you. Good Lord. Like we mentioned, catch me tomorrow. I'll be on with Chad Brown and for Mike Greenberg on Greeny on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app from 10 to noon Eastern time. Also, that on Wednesday. Then Freddie and Harry will be together on Carlin versus Joe. That happens from noon to 3 p.m. to get you closer and closer to the NFL draft. But coming up right now, it's going to be the Knicks and 76ers Game 2 from Madison Square Garden. Kevin Winter, Mark Kesslerer, and P.J. Carlisle will have the call. This has been Freddie and Harry in the mighty ESPN Radio. Take care. God bless. And happy birthday, Miss Denise Coleman.
Thanks for listening to the Freddie and Harry podcast on ESPN Radio. You can also listen to Freddie and Harry live weekdays from 3 to 7 Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on Sirius XM Channel 80. You can also watch and listen on the ESPN app. The Freddie and Harry podcast.